When good news isn't even remotely good enough, you must be talking about Greece. From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Greek stock market had a minor comeback today. The main Athens index is up about 3.75% after days of brutal losses. And a report out today said Greece's unemployment rate fell a bit in May. Could it be positive news for the struggling country? The BBC's Lucy Burton has been reporting from Greece and joins us now from London. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Molly. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming on. So are today's unemployment figures out of Greece a sign of encouragement, even a small one?
Well, the jobless rate fell to 25% in May. Now, on the face of it, that sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? Jobless rates falling. But of course, you've got to remember that this data came out before the country's banking system shut down in June. And then when the capital controls were introduced, businesses couldn't pay people. When I was there a few months ago, very many business owners were saying to me, I'm having to lay people off because I simply can't pay them. So I think it's very likely that we're going to see a dip in the next set of data, simply reflecting that June number. And of course, the other thing that this 25% headline doesn't show is that the huge amount of unemployment amongst young people, 51% says official figures, but lots of people are out there saying, do you know what, it's much higher, much nearer to 60%. Lots of young people simply can't find jobs. Lots of them, of course, leaving as well, going to other parts of Europe.
Right. And sort of seemingly encouraging news today in that the Athens stock market is up a little bit, but the markets obviously got hit hard after they reopened. What do you think the mood is like?
Restrictions still apply for investors, and the government's still very keen to stop cash leaving Greece, leaving Athens. So lots of people there are still very worried. You know, you've got people that have their money in banks still very worried about the spectre of a bail-in. The mood's very jumpy. And of course, the banks themselves still reliant on a sort of drip feed of liquidity for survival. So I think it's going to be months, years even, before people in Athens, in Greece, are feeling confident about the stock market, are feeling confident about the economy.
That's the BBC's Lucy Burton. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you very much, Molly.
Activist investor Bill Ackman has taken a massive stake in the maker of Oreo cookies and Ritz crackers. Ackman put $5.5 billion into Mondelez International. That company was created in 2012 when it split from the Kraft empire. Now, Ackman is pushing for major cost cutting or even a sale. And one name that's being floated is, you guessed it, the newly merged Kraft Heinz. The political world will be watching Cleveland tonight. That city is hosting a debate among some of the Republicans running for president. Cleveland is also the site of the Republican National Convention next summer, and Philadelphia gets the Democrats. Both cities have hosted these political gatherings before, and we asked WHYY's Kate Colinari in Philadelphia and Brian Bull of WCPN in Cleveland to check in on how those cities' economies have changed since then. First, here's Brian.
RNC host committee CEO David Gilbert has a lot on his plate. He's got to finalize 4,000 hotel rooms and raise a lot of money.
Well, it's a total of $64 million in cash, and we've raised just about 40.
There's more on his to-do list, but Gilbert can't help but smile at the clouds of dust stirred up by trucks and construction workers across the street.
Right in front of us is a new 600-room Hilton Hotel that will be open in May of next year. And right up the road is about a $35 million renovation of Public Square.
Cleveland last hosted the RNC in 1936. Since then, C-Town's taken hits to its industrial and manufacturing sectors, as well as population. But recently, the city's seen a gradual rebound that can't all be LeBron James's doing. 83-year-old Helene Zemel has lived through those ups and downs. She was a little girl when the RNC was last here.
As far as the economy, I think it's the greatest thing that could happen. I think people are discovering a brand new place.
The RNC's projected economic impact means up to $250 million in direct spending, though much of that will be concentrated around the convention site itself. In Cleveland, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And I'm Katie Colinari in Philadelphia. Philly knows just how Cleveland feels. It hosted the RNC back in 2000. Renea Moore is the deputy chair of Pennsylvania's Republican Party.
They had to do a whole lot of things so people would buy into Philadelphia.
Like moving strip clubs off a major highway just across the river. They even painted some of the brown grass green. Fast forward 15 years, the investments paid off. Philadelphia's hosted other headline events, and coming this fall, Pope Francis. So when the Democrats arrive next summer, Philly will have even more to show off. But organizers aren't resting on the painted grass. Former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell is the host committee's head fundraiser.
We have to do a party for 30, 40,000 delegates. We have to do a party for all of the press and the media, 25,000 to 30,000 of those.
That's a lot of Chardonnay. Part of Rendell's job is getting corporations to pay for things, like the electric bill for the media tent and the big cocktail parties with city views. In all, Philadelphia has to raise $70 million.
We have to entertain in a way that the Pope's visit isn't entertaining.
In other words, for the faithful, no expensive cocktail parties. In the city of brotherly love, I'm Katie Colinari for Marketplace.
And before we go, tonight is also Jon Stewart's last night as host of Comedy Central's The Daily Show. Companies, politicians, and personalities have been bidding him farewell, even ones he hasn't always been so kind to. Arby's, for example, has been the butt of many a Stewart joke in the past 2 years, but the company still bought two ads in the show that aired last night. Because here's the thing, even if it's not good press, if you get a mention from Jon Stewart, you have made it. In New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.